The rain is relentless. It's been pouring for hours. And as I step outside my cabin, pulling up the hood on my raincoat, I look up to the heavens and wonder what on God's green earth could have angered him so damn much today. Lightning streaks through the sky, and it would be a beautiful sight if it weren't so damn treacherous. A lightning storm in a forest isn't exactly my version of paradise. However, this mountain, Whiskey Mountain, is home sweet home, and I wouldn't leave here for anything. So, I gotta protect it. Protect the people that live here. The last thing anyone needs is their place getting flooded out. Pulling my door shut, I walk down a well-traveled path toward Waverly and Walker's home. It's weird to think of it as Wavy's place, but they've been together long enough at this point, nearly a year, that I figure it's her place as much as it is his. Since they're in Anchorage right now, having their twins, I gotta make sure everything's okay. I cut through the clearing at the south end of my property and head through their woods. The forest is a decent covering from the rainstorm, but I still want to get out of the downpour. The leaves and debris-strewn path is half a mile walk from my place to theirs. I see the lake ahead of me, Walker's boat tied up to his dock. We both live on this lake at the base of Whiskey Mountain, and I'm grateful for the company. Sure, I'm a loner, but it isn't the worst thing to have a neighbor to drink some whiskey with every once in a while. He's another soul to shoot the shit with. Now that Walker went and got himself married, those days are far and few between. I don't begrudge Walker any of it. I know he's had a shitty life, and to have a little bit of sunshine cracking through his storm ain't so bad. Still, I guess the best way to say it is that I'm a little jealous. Hell, I've never met a woman like Wavy, or any woman who sets my heart on fire, puts a spark in my step the way I know she did for Walker. I can't imagine settling down like they have, unless it was the real-ass deal. Unless there was no way out, except going through with it. When I get to the cabin, I'm surprised to see a light on inside. I frown, running a hand over my thick beard. Maybe they left it on to make sure there was light when they came home after the babies were born. But that doesn't seem quite right. They're planning on being gone for a few months. They have an apartment up in Anchorage, so that the newborns can have close access to a doctor. I understand why they are concerned. It makes sense. Wavy's scared for the lives of her little ones after going through so much herself, and so Walker is making sure she feels safe. And after the life Wavy's had, I understand why that's so damn important to him, too. Maybe in their rush, they forgot to turn off the lights. I'm out the steps of the front porch, wanting to get inside to make sure all their windows are sealed tight, and to check if there are any leaks inside. I pull out my keys to unlock the door, but to my surprise, I see it's not secured. I push my way inside the cabin, calling for them, knowing they're not here. Walker, Wavy, I shout. There's no answer, of course, but my eyes widen when I take in the scene. Clearly someone's been here, is here, and maybe not for long. Walker and Wavy only left this morning. Still, there's a backpack on the couch with a woman's jacket next to it. There's a pair of boots on the floor, a sweater, and a t-shirt. I keep walking, following the trail of clothes, stepping past one sock, then another.